have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Well, hello, good people. Hello, hello, hello. And welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. I'm so excited to be with you on this evening. You never know what's going to happen here, but you know we're going to have great conversation. I want to make this disclaimer. I do not claim to be a relationship expert. I just believe that there are things that I have experienced and encountered that have impacted my life from relationships, and I figured that I could share that with somebody who's willing to listen, and I believe it will be life-changing to all those who do listen. I want to also make this other disclaimer that this conversation is real. We don't come up with fictitious stuff. It is raw. We ain't trying to be cute. This is uncut, real deal stuff. And most of all, it is relevant. And that's the bottom line. So now what we're going to do is we're going to pitch a few thoughts, pitch a few things from Scripture, and we want to talk about it and talk about that alone. Sometimes we happen to get on other subjects, and it takes us into places that we don't want to go, and sometimes it creates a little bit of hostility and or tension that we don't want, because we want everybody to know that what we talk about with passion, but it's based upon the Word of God, and that's where we are, all right? So listen. I want to bring in those who join me in this podcast, because I believe it's going to be an off-the-chain discussion tonight, all right? So let me see who I've got here. First of all, the one who produces the show, who I'm grateful to, who has allowed me to do this for a little bit over 2 years now, please put your hands together and welcome with me Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Dr. Kimmy, are you here?
I am. This is the day that the Lord has made. What a good day. What a good day. Amen.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm so happy to have you. I am so happy to have you, and I'm grateful to the Lord for you always in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me see. I want to know if my big brother is here. That's Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. Are you here tonight, sir? He's on mute. He's unmuted. Oh, that's right. I don't think he's going to be here tonight. I think he's traveling. All right. Well, let me see if my other big brother is here. I'm talking about the one, the only, the Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Are you here tonight, sir? Okay. So I'm 1 for 2 right now. All right. Let me see. I know that I believe that Apostle Felicia Fleiss is here tonight. Are you here, Apostle?
Yes, sir. I am right here.
Awesome. 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 So glad to have you. So glad to have you. Let me see. Brother Otis and Sister Otis Gabriel, are y'all joining me tonight?
Of course. Right on time. Every Saturday evening.
Amen. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. Amen. Let me see if Reverend Billy Gabriel is here tonight. Are you here tonight, sir?
Yes, I am. I am here.
Awesome, awesome. And I'm quite sure we might have some others who may be joining us. I may not know them at this point. But what I want to do is I want to jump into this podcast tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open with prayer, and then I'm going to listen tonight more than talk. I'm going to do some listening. Amen. And we're going to see what the Lord is going to do on that note. Father, we love you. We bless you. We give you praise, honor, and glory, for you have been better to us than we've been to ourselves. Father, tonight as we look, oh God, to be on this podcast tonight, that, Father, we pray you would move by your Spirit. We pray that your word would give us light and clarity and understanding, that somebody will be better than they were before, that their marriage will become more meaningful. Oh, Lord, their relationship will be more healthy in the name of Jesus, and most of all, it will produce more happiness in the name of Jesus. And that which was hindering their ability to love one another or to
oh God, touch one another, or their ability to communicate with one another will be changed tonight by your power. I believe you, and I thank you, and I give you glory, God, for everyone who was participating tonight, those who are not here, those who will join in. God, I pray that the whole world will hear from you tonight through something as simple as this podcast entitled Making Marriage Meaningful. Have your way. Get your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Tonight I'm going to simply be a coach, and I'm going to put this person in because this person said they wanted to handle this tonight. Amen. And I believe that God has something for them to say. Amen. So, Apostle Felicia Flythe, we are in your hands. Come on and let's do this thing.
My God, my God. I sure hope y'all ready tonight because I'm going to again challenge you to think. I'm going to again challenge you to love. I am going to challenge you to reconcile. So we're back on this reconcile. We all know what a covenant is. A covenant is an agreement. To reconcile means to restore a healing, prosperous relationship of one or two people after hurt has been done. Our focus scripture comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. I'm going to read it out of, let me see if I want to do the amplified version or do I want to do the message. Let me see. I'm going to do the amplified version. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. 17 says, there anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual conditions have passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings a new life. 18, but all these things are from God, who reconciles us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example, we might bring others to him. Now, I'm going to challenge your thinking. Again, I'm going to challenge your heart. But then I'm going to challenge your word, because whatever proceedeth out of a man's mouth shall be his bond. That means that there should be no foul, no lies that comes out of his mouth. His actions must apply to what proceedeth out of his mouth. Now, I gave you a scenario a couple of weeks ago that he cheated on her, and he came back. He admitted his wrongdoing. He told her that he loved her. They reconciled. Everything was going good. Weeks have passed by. Months have passed by, years have passed by. But guess what? She has stepped out this time. She has now cheated on him because he neglects her. There are some things that she wants from him, some things that she desires from him. She wants to be held when she's having a rough day. She wants to be consoled that her auntie is now in hospice and they're calling the family members in. She wants to be held and consoled because of what she desires. She's emotional. She's made out of emotions. We all know that God does not deal with our emotions. He deals with matters of the heart. But she's told him several times, honey, I just want you to hold me. You don't have to buy me anything. I just want your attention. Can you give me 15 minutes of your attention? Can you give me 5 minutes of your attention when you're coming home? I know that you're a doctor and you have many patients, but I'm your wife. I deserve your attention. So she has stepped out. He has found out about it. Now he's ready to leave. But she accepted him back when he cheated. Can you as a man accept her, love her, still honor her when she has now cheated on you? Who wants to answer that question next? And remember, we're staying on task. It's the covenant. They're married. The reconciliation is the forgiving. Can you forgive her?
let me be the first. Let me be the first to deal with this. I think the first thing is, one, men view things differently than women. And speaking from the man's perspective, it's hard for us to be disappointed as a man. It's hard for us to let stuff go. Why? Because men, though we be strong, when something like that happens, in a sense, it causes our mindset to become somewhat fragile. And so now we're trying to reset that, and it becomes a little bit of a challenge, especially if it's something we have not had to exercise. If I don't have to exercise forgiveness, if I don't have to exercise helping someone to make their mistake right, if I'm not exercising that, it becomes a challenge. Whereas, unfortunately, and I don't mean no harm when I say this, women have been disappointed in so many ways, in so many capacities, that they've made it a habit to say, okay, let me see how I can make this work. Let me give this person another chance. Let me forgive them, and so on and so forth. But for men, if I'm wrong, forgive me, but I just think it's a little bit more of a challenge to be able to handle forgiveness when we've been disappointed, especially because we're not used to being disappointed. That's what I'm going to say, and I'm going to hold right there.
Okay. Now, if there is anybody on the line, Dr. Kimmy, that has some feedback or they have a question, we're going to allow our audience to do that on tonight, because I want to hear from those that have been cheated on, those who have cheated. Again, as Apostle Whitlow has stated, this talk is real talk. We talk about real issues, real relationships, real marriages. This is real. This is not scripted. We are very much unscripted. Who would like to go next? Can you forgive her for cheating after she has forgiven you?
Yeah, this is Brother Otis. I would like to comment on that. I first would like to agree with my experience that men tend to respond to being cheated on quite differently than most women. To a man, that seems to be a deal breaker. And to a woman, it seems to be a situation that causes disappointment, hurt, and pain. And with a man, a man feels to be more impacted personally because of his ego and the feeling of possession of his woman, that this belongs to me. And now this woman has gone and shared his most precious commodity, his most precious and highly regarded pleasure, his area where the contract, the covenant, is really applicable to, and shared all of this with someone outside of the dyadic relationship. And women, I don't know if they forgive, but they don't talk about the infidelity as much as a man would. And sometimes men, after a woman has stepped outside of the marriage and has been intimate with a man, another person, that sometimes men have a difficult time rising to the occasion to service his wife, even just at the point of entry or even immediately after, just thinking that days ago or weeks ago or whatever it was, another man was in this very same position and his wife had voluntarily removed her clothing, positioned herself just for this moment with another man. And that causes, a man won't call it deep-seated pain, he will call it deep-seated anger. And that is what they respond to, the anger of the pain, instead of saying, honey, what happened? Let's talk about this to prevent the likelihood of it taking place again. So the main thing on there is that men view infidelity, the average man, most men, quite differently. It has been my experience, and react to infidelity quite differently than women. Women sometimes are quite aware of it, thoroughly aware of it, cognizantly aware of it, and never say anything. And that's maybe because of the family structure, the number of children they have, the situation at home. If they need the man and they need peace and harmony in the house, and they will begin to ignore it. A man is a little bit unlikely to just completely ignore a fact that he is aware of.
Okay. Is there another man on this line? I just got a response from one of our listeners, and she stated that she's hearing some background from the panel. So after you finish speaking, can I ask you guys to mute your phone? And your time limit is about 5 minutes when you respond. So again, is there another male on the line that would like to respond? And please limit your response, because I think I have a member of the audience that has something to say as well. Who's next?
You know, this is Billy Gabriel, and I can attest to the fact in an agreement difference in the men and the women responding. I understand that has been a little added, that all too often when a woman's real quiet, when she should be angry, they often say that is a dangerous person per se. It's very much like an unlit fuse. And I had one of my friends that shared with me at one time in the area of men cheating. And as much as we try to camouflage it, she shared with me and another friend, and she was saying very much like woman's intuition. She said, Gabe, when the man is cheating, we just know. It's something we know when you are doing it. There's a certain aura or something, cosmetic signal, like a bat, I suppose, that can tell when we are doing it. And all too often, they remain quiet. And sometimes it's not so much that they are not hurt. I mean, I know they are very hurt. I can attest to that because I am a prime example of that position. And I realize now just how much she had done. However, It is a seething pain. I know that they have shared it with me, and it rings deep, what's that little place? Still water run deep, and it's not, and we are so above that that we really cannot fathom that. Now, at the same time, I know of a man who cheated a lot, a whole lot, more than me. And he learned that his wife, and he began to walk the halls of his workplace looking for that individual, overlooking the fact that he would have been doing the same thing. But he just wanted to see who this person was. And I don't know whether to confront him or whatever the case may be. But we just respond totally different. And I know I would like to believe that she forgave us, that she will forgive the men. But it's very hard to tell because all too often their behavior don't really, well, I won't say all the time, does not really change that much for the safety of the house, depending on the dynamics in the home. But as she said, we just know when you're doing it. And that takes a whole lot. And you have heard me say, sometimes we talk about what's that other word we use? Irreconcilable difference or unforgiveness is something they just can't do. It can remind me, I've said it a couple of times, of that little nursery rhyme about Humpty Dumpty falling off the wall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put it back together again. And that's my part. In some things, it just shatter and it breaks. I think I've said enough to get the idea of what I'm trying to share. As Brother Rick
okay.
Said, dropping the mic.
All right, sir. All right. Thank you so much. Is there anybody from our audience that would like to contribute to this? If there be another male out there that has something to say, can you forgive her for cheating? Are you willing to reconcile what has happened? Can you move forward?
No.
Is there another male?
I want to ask a question before you do that, because I understand you're saying, can he forgive her for cheating? But here's the real question. Did she really need to cheat? Did she really need to? Was that really an answer, or was she just at that moment just being mad or being selfish, or was she just trying to do something that she's never done before? Because you know, some things, if you made a genuine mistake, it's one thing. But if this was a part of some strategy or some scheme to make him jealous or to get him upset or to get him to act out of character or something, then she did it out of spite. And if you do it out of spite, then I don't really think there is a need for forgiveness because she just really then showed her true colors.
Hmm. Well, she could have very well done it out of spite. She could have done it out of spite. To be quite honest with you, majority of the time, when a woman does something after a man does, she did it to get back at him. Let's just be honest. Let's be honest. You know, we may have as children, this is a sidebar conversation, as children, when somebody wronged us, we tried to get them back. In the voice of Madea, I get them before I get got. You know, that's how it is. But when a woman is hurt, she expresses that hurt. She shows that hurt. A man does not. A man doesn't show his hurt. He might show his disappointment, but not his hurt. So with that being said, I mean, again, can you forgive her? You wanted her to forgive you for doing what you did, but can you forgive her? Yes, I understand that she laid and played with somebody else. Yeah, but this is part two of her cheating. She didn't do it outside of the home. She did it in your home where you pay your mortgage. The same bed that you and her
did
cheated.
Wait, hold on. Wait a minute. Did you say she did it in my home where I pay the what?
She did it in your home where you pay the
in
mortgage.
In my home?
Where I pay
the mortgage?
And her,
wait a minute.
Where
on my sheet? On my sheet?
Where you
what?
Where you and her what? Made love and created all
Man.
Of your children.
You know what? This is a setup. Somebody's recording this because they wanted somebody to say something out the way. You want me to forgive? What? Wait a minute. I'm trying to get this out. My Lord, save me in Jesus' name. Wait a minute. Dr. Kimmy, you're going to have to help me. What? On my sheet? On my bed? In my bedroom where I pay the bill? Are you what? Okay. Whoo, woosah. Woosah. I'm having a woosah moment.
Well, listen, here's part three. The woman that you cheated with knows your address.
Before you move to part three, I would like to respond to part two. The situation definitely intensifies with other violations. First of all, the infidelity is the highest on the list. Then sometimes that is multiplied by other smaller infractions, such as giving another man money, riding another man around in the car that you and your husband are paying for. And then the
Hold on, Brother Otis. Hold on, because that's part three. That's still
okay. Well,
part three.
But what you just said, having a man in the house, that is the worst of all the amplifiers. That would be the one that would make it much worse.
Okay. So are you saying to me that because Sister Pillow has invited Brother Crown inside your home where you and Sister Pearl share, you all have built together. The foundation was laid. You built. You spent years in this home. You've had children. The children are in elementary school and high school. Are you saying that you cannot reconcile that? Are you saying that you can't forgive because it happened in your home? You can't forgive because she cheated? You can't forgive because she violated? Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. That would make reconciliation and forgiveness just a little bit more different. You're sitting up here at the kitchen table in the bedroom watching TV, and you want to know, where was this guy sitting? You know? What part of my house did he go in? And then you look in your bed and get ready to get in the bed with your wife, and that image would become like a movie in your mind that you have self-created. No, that is amplifying the violation.
Okay, but again, I say it was okay that you begged and pleaded her to forgive you, but now you can't forgive her because what I'm hearing is it happened in your home. Two wrongs don't make a right. Does not make a right. It does not matter if she cheated in the garage, if she cheated in the backyard. Doesn't matter if she cheated in your car.
cheating is still cheating, but because you took a Sister Sue over here to the Sheraton Hotel, that makes it right. No. You asked for my forgiveness, and I gave it to you. I do the same thing. Now you can't forgive me. Now you want to file for divorce. Now you want to leave me. And you think about taking the children because I cheated. But it was okay when you cheated. That's not how God works. That's not how God, when you commit sin and you repent with the determination of not turning back to what you used to do, God forgives you. He forgives you. And it's done. It's sealed. It's forgotten about. So just imagine God holding on to every sin that you have committed forgiveness, and he tell you, well, now that last thing that you did, that was too big for me to forgive. And
but
we know the sins that he will not forgive. Go ahead, Kim.
I do have a comment. Okay, go ahead, because I was going to say, just because I forgive that person doesn't mean I am, you know, mandated to go back to that person. I could forgive you, but that doesn't mean if I don't want to go back that I am in trouble with God, because if you go to the Bible, it says that the greatest, when someone cheats on you, you can walk away without any, you know, sin from a divorce. So that is a person's choice. If someone cheats on me, I'm leaving. So I will forgive that person, but I'm not mandated by God to continue the marriage.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, I would just like to, this is a question/answer. My thing is in the area of forgiveness, forgiving her for her impropriety, her infidelity. What is actually the difference? I understand the logic about in your home, in your bedroom, or be it the hotel, in your house, your bed, be it in the backyard, be it another hotel, anywhere, the wife, the lady. No matter what, it's still, the result is the same. There was a cheating going on. Your wife cheated, or your husband, whichever way it is. I think at the end of the day, as we often say, the results are the very same. It's the area of stepping out, and she cheated. And it was still your wife. It was still her, the same person. But if we want to put extra weight, I can understand the pain. I can understand that part, just the very idea in the house. But the end result, it is the same if they have done it in outside, on the sidewalk, in a hotel, anywhere. That's me now, my opinion. It's just the very idea. It is still a violation, and she is the one that shared another man. And I think that the pain, in my case, I know, will be the same. I think the home would just be a little more disrespect, but the pain, I believe, will be the same. That's mine.
Apostle?
I'm right
Apostle
here.
Apostle Willow.
Okay. I'm right here.
So, I think you were stuck on the fact that it all happened in your home.
Where
you pay bills, where you lay your head, and all that other kind of stuff. So is your answer that you would not forgive her as well?
I didn't say that I wouldn't.
But I think that brother Otis Gabriel said it best. That makes forgiveness that much more complicated. See, because here's two things that we have to realize. One, we are merely human beings, and though we serve the Lord God, though we serve the Lord God, we are not robots. We are not without the sentiments of the heart or the mind. So what I'm saying is that forgiveness would for a man who had been violated like that would be a serious process. And when I say a serious process, I'm talking about somewhere in him there is a love, but that love has been, if you will, devastated, and it's been devastated that it has caused detriment to his mindset and to his ability to function, and so that's the part that makes him fragile. So now that he's fragile, he has to determine how to repair himself. And most men, if we be typical, if we be truthful, should I say, most men, their way to process things is either to go somewhere and take a long walk, take a long drive, disappear for a moment or two or three, or become violent. Now, if a man becomes violent, all of a sudden he's an abuser, and so then she calls the police on him. He gets locked up, right? And now he goes to court, and they prosecute him saying that he has an anger management problem, but she doesn't tell anybody that she violated him by cheating on him and by breaking him. See, because chances are when a man, God forbid, a man cheats on a woman, one thing she's not going to do. She might be mad. She might cuss. She might fuss, right? But she's not going to touch him in the sense of violation unless she just simply crazy like Foxy Brown. And that's just not common. So therefore, a man now has to reprogram himself. He has to reset himself. He has to refocus himself. How does he do that? He has to get out of that environment. Because if he stays in that environment, it's going to enrage him. He stays in that environment, right? And he's going to get fired up. And when he gets fired up, he's going to start acting in ways that are not beneficial. So his best bet is to get out of the picture, get out of the way. If it means that he's got to go away maybe 2 days, maybe a week, I don't know. Every man is different. But I do know that if she really wants him to stay with her and to forgive her for her indiscretions and her infidelities, I know that she has to be able to give him space. Just like when he tells her that he stepped out, he has to give her space. Why? Because she has to determine if it's something worth saving. Usually, when infidelity takes place, I'm going to stop with this. Usually when infidelity takes place, it's because someone's needs are not being met, and so they figured it would be best to step away. I have a tendency to watch a lot of Tyler Perry shows. One of them is called The Oval, and one of the head of security guys messed up on his wife because he had been begging her for some time to be intimate. And here was a woman who was constantly pursuing him, warning him and begging him, like, give me that. I want that hammer, so to speak. Okay, and I don't mean no disrespect, but again, this is raw talk. Okay, and he finally gave it to her. He finally gave it to the woman. His wife found out. Now the wife is so upset. What she done does? She done put him out the house. She done cleaned out his bank account and carried on with this and that. Almost tried to throw some hot water or hot grits or whatever on him because what? She wanted to be angry. But she's not so innocent herself. But see, nobody won't look at that part. So you have to have space. You have to have time. And prayerfully, that would be a time to say, Lord, will you help me in such a case as this? Because let's be truthful. Without the Lord, it does not work. Without the Lord, things go sour. I'm going to hold right there.
Okay. So, y'all have to excuse my pause because I'm sending the podcast number to a number of people right now because I need for some people to jump on this. And again, these are conversations that should take place, especially when you're having couples retreats or counseling. These kind of questions should come up. What is your response when these things happen? I get it. I get the fact, y'all. Believe me, I understand that some men they can't handle the fact of another man being with their woman, another man touching their woman. But us women can't stand the fact or cannot even swallow the fact that the man that do all this stuff to us has now done it to another woman. So those two are similar in fact. We don't want our man touching another woman the way that he touches us. But again, I say, the neglect came. She told him about the neglect. He refused to answer her request or respond to her request. Yes, she understood that he has patience. Yes, he's a doctor. Well-known surgeon. But when you get married, the Bible tells us that our bodies are not our own. When you become married, your body belongs to your spouse. It belongs to your spouse. So if you're not taking care of what you're supposed to, is that sin? Is it against the covenant that you both agreed upon? What is it? What has happened to the marriage? So what I'm hearing again is that the marriage probably can't be reconciled because she did what he did, and it was unacceptable. You love her, but now you want to get rid of her.
Nobody is saying that it cannot be reconciled. That's not what anyone is saying. What every man is saying is that the road to reconciliation is different for a man than it is for a woman. Again, if you didn't get anything else, you must understand that when a man's sentiments have been disappointed, he becomes extremely fragile. So he has to go somewhere, reset, refocus, realign, readjust himself to even get on the track of thinking about reconciliation. See, because here's the thing. A woman can determine right away whether she wants to reconcile or not. Because here's the thing. If her love outweighs her mistake, if her love outweighs his mistake, she going to reconcile. If he knows how to talk to her, she will reconcile. But that's not an expertise of a woman when she messes up with a man. And so you have to understand the process is different. It takes more for a man to say, okay, I'll give this another shot. Because, and the reason I say that is because everybody knows that the moment a man commits to a woman, the moment a man marries a woman, right, every other woman is constantly trying to find a way to break them apart because she wants that man to herself. And that man, he fights tooth and nail to be truthful and faithful. And so when he is and she is not, he now has to revisit if he made the right decision to be with her. He has to determine, is it beneficial to maintain his relationship with her? He has to think about these things. So his process to get into reconciliation is different. Yes, we understand there's covenant, but the agreement was that you wasn't going to do me like this. Okay, so what? So, okay, so we talk about the man who messed up. All right, well, we often know that men, we are likely to mess up. That's a man for you, because let's tell the truth, men do not have the same capacity in thinking, or do not have the same, we do not have the same the drives as a woman. In so many words, I'm putting it as simplistic as I can put it. So our wheels turn differently. Our wheels might take a little bit longer. And sometimes there's even a going back and forth in a game sense that, okay, yeah, I want to forgive you. Man, why am I going to forgive you after what you done? Because one thing I've learned, an incident can happen one time, but the mind seeks to replay that thing millions of times. And so the more it's replayed is the more detriment that's being done. And so because we are not quick to get that out of our system, it takes a longer time to process. I didn't say it couldn't take place. Every man is saying it takes a longer time to process.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we've heard from Apostle Whitlow. Brother Otis, are you still here? Brother Otis?
Yes, I am still here.
Okay.
Just waiting for my turn.
Can you do this one, sir?
Say again?
Well, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
No, I said yes, I am still here. Just waiting for my turn to project my opinion about the topic. That so dynamic.
Okay. Let's go on to part three. Go ahead with you. What you were saying about part three?
Okay. No. What we were all saying is that there's a violation, and now we're going back into the law of physics that every variable makes a difference. And having an affair outside the home, in a hotel, or someplace unknown, is that the partner just says, I understand, I can tell you were having an affair by the way that you were dressed, by the way that you would act. You know, it was no secret. It was just like you were waving a banner stating that you had yourself a new girlfriend. Now, that is one thing. You add a variable. You bring the man into the home. That is an added violation, another level of disrespect. You're driving the man around. You went and picked up the man in my car while I was away at work and brought him back to our house. Was he hungry? Did y'all have a snack? Oh, yeah. I fixed him something to eat. Where was he sitting? And you look at that chair, and that chair would never be the same again in your mind. And so that is the third level, is what did you add to this violation of sharing my most precious gift with someone else? You made it worse. You tripled it. The violation and the pain and the disrespect and the disregard by putting them in my car, bring them to my house, eating up my food, and in my bed. Most, you know what, I heard this one thing. A man took the bed out, burned it in the backyard, and ordered a new bed when he learned that this woman had brought a man home and put him in his bed. You could never sleep comfortable in that bed ever again.
Okay.
Triple violation.
Do we have any? I know some people are listening. Please tell me one of my callers, one of my listeners would like to say something. Anyone on the line would like to say something, have something to talk? Go ahead. Hello?
Yeah, Black One is normally on the line, but I guess he's not tonight.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Auntie, I'm on the line. Hey. Niece. Hey, I got a question.
Would you like?
And I don't mute my phone.
Okay, what's your
Now, I know we're talking about if a man catch up as women in the house. Where do we catch a man in the house with another female? And then us as a female go back and do it to them in the same household. Then how would you respond?
Well, see, that's why I gave the scenario. He cheated first. She forgave him. Now, years later, she cheats on him with the same situation that he did, and he has to burn the bed down. He has to burn the chair down. He has to check the bank account now. He goes and trades the car in now. He will never be the same because she did to him what he did to her.
There you go. There you go.
Never mind. And again, I say, two wrongs do not, it does not make it right. Again, we all know, I've said it before, let me go ahead and put my disclaimer out there. A covenant is an agreement that you and the other individual have. It be a marriage, whether it be a friendship or a relationship, you establish the relation. Reconciliation is the healing of a relationship, the healing of something wrong or the hurt that you caused someone. You're trying to make it right. But if you're running from the situation, it's not doing any good because you can't run from that. It has to be dealt with.
But I realize that some men the same mindset of women when it comes to stuff. Some men can't take what we dish out or what has been done to us. Some men just can't, and vice versa. I think your nephew want to say something.
Okay, nephew, what do you have to say?
Okay, on this situation, in your scenario, Auntie, right?
Mm-hmm.
My thing is this, and we're going to go basically from the basics. Yeah, in the beginning, you say he cheated, okay? She forgave him, right?
Right.
Years later,
mm-hmm.
She decides to cheat, and now that's the issue. The point missed is that in-between part. When she forgave him, right, and he started over,
mm-hmm.
it was anew. The reason it's so much more devastating on top of it is because in that time, in that year, especially if he's been doing everything to reconcile with her, make sure that he's doing everything that she asks, going above and beyond, and then for her to go out and do that, the reason why it's more hurtful, especially on top of that being in the house, especially if he's also the breadwinner. That's the point missed. If the husband's the breadwinner, if she's an at-home housewife, she don't have nothing she got to do. She's chilling at home, everything. And she goes out and cheats, that's beyond devastation because you have nothing to worry about. If your man is taking care of you at home, allowing you just to do everything, there's no reason in his eyes that you should be out there looking for something.
Okay. But again, she wanted some time with him. It's time. Most women, some women don't want the lavish gift. Quality time is what she desires.
I was about to add here. Just to,
okay.
All to my phone. My phone has been on mute, but I thought, yeah, once again, I had it on mute. You were talking over me again, but I realized my phone was on mute. But nonetheless, I have, during my working time, I have worked in the offices, in an office most of my whole time, my career working, it was in an office. And I have witnessed office romances. And all too often, it happens with the frequency of the working close together, and we have these lunch breaks and things of this nature, might initiate these actions of what I'm about to say. It could be as a result of the actions at home between the husband and wife. At home, I'm just using the woman this time. I know it works on both sides. Who is not shown appreciation, who is not given compliments, who is not being treated lovingly, who is not not receiving compliments of how good she look, how good she smells, and things of this nature. As she come into the office early in the morning, and the men will often give compliments as to how she looked, how they dressed, and things of this nature. And they start going out to lunch together, things of this nature. I'm trying to speed it up. And as the little adage go, one thing leads to another. Now, and I'm just going, you know what I'm going with that. And they have an affair. And all too often, where she would often show sadness and misery at home after work, now she can come home and she can understand or take the abuse, whatever it is, the situation at home, with a smile. She has been, what's the word? Satisfied. But it happens so much that we as men, there are many of us who do not share the type of respect and the things that that women, but men do too, but women desire. They like to be feel needed, like to be respected, like to be told and shared. And when that is in that void, it's really present. I think the word is called vulnerable. When another person is filling that void, and that oftentimes leads to an affair, and that goes right back again to the other part. Some of these things go to the grave unknown, and because they have learned to adjust to that type of behavior. But all too, I don't. But my the real thing I want to say, to forgive is a man, and that's we have to find out our heart to forgive, because we, in the case that I have heard tonight, it works on both sides. It seems that we're giving the head is grievous to the side of the woman, but it works on both sides. But the thing is, we have to forgive. It's as hard as it is, according to the things I have heard, especially with this in the home. But it's working, it's alive, and it's well. It's alive and it's working. And it's nothing new. But it's a matter of how we how it is handled. It's just how it's handled by the recipient. And I think it, you know, I think it hurts each other just as hard. But it just seems that the men, well, it's been said, shown that we react different. It seems that our discretion is not as in our head is not as grievous as that when the woman do it for some reason, but it is both in our violation, both. And we both have an area to forgive. I'm dropping the mic.
All right. Is there anybody else on the line that would like to give? You got 5 minutes to give a response. Is there anyone else on the line that would like to respond to this? Go on once. Go on twice.
I wanted to just respond to the question about how men end up in your house. You know, a lot of times women cheat because they feel unappreciated, neglected, hurt, ignored, and lonely. And sometimes you have neighbors that will sit and listen to you when you're lonely and complain about your husband not being there and how, you know that he's been cheating on you. And then just that comforting of that neighbor, one thing tends to lead to another, you know, and that's how men sometimes wind up in your house because they live right next door or across the street or behind you in the house. That's what I wanted to share about that. We talked about the office affairs, but have affairs that are nearby where you don't have to go out to a motel or anything. And being that your husband is gone most of the time, they learn to know exactly when is a good time to visit with each other. And that can go on for months and years. Especially, you know, if your husband feels like, you know, he's cheating and you don't know about it and, you know, he can't be accounted for, you start depending on, you know, his schedule to, you know, be your neighbor, really.
Okay.
And, you know, and also on this line, we are speaking on the premise that...
Okay, can I get somebody to mute their phone? It's too much feedback. It's a lot of feedback right now.
Yes. I forgot where I was going. I forgot. I forgot where I was going.
Okay, guys, so I do want to thank everyone for listening in. I want to thank everyone for their responses. You know, all our conversations, again, are raw and uncut. All of our conversations are very much unscripted. All of our conversations are about real situations, real lives, real marriages, real relationships. What I want you all to understand is that if God can forgive, why can't you? It is your duty, your responsibility. Yeah, some people say, well, I forgive them, but I won't forget. Then why forgive them if you're not going to forget about it? Why would you forgive someone and you're not? No, 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 this is not a question. This is a statement. You can't forgive someone and then hold your carrot over their head. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to forgive people. Because, again, I say, if God threw back to us every sin that we committed from the time that we knew better up until now, today, we wouldn't be able to handle that. But again, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining Making Marriage Meaningful on tonight. I'm going to now turn it over to Apostle Whitlow. Thank you so much for allowing me to host your show on tonight. I really think that, you know, these real conversations bring light to situations and relationships and marriages that have had these types of situations happen. I really believe that those who are, that continue to listen in on Making Marriage Meaningful build stronger relationships, build stronger marriages, because they hear other people, not necessarily who have dealt with it, but can give you a revelation of why it's important for you to keep your covenant and to reconcile. So again, Apostle, I thank you so much for allowing me to step in. It brings a lot of light to some dark situations.
Well, we say thank you so much for the conversation tonight. I think it's, again, very important to understand that our objective is to be more like Christ. I believe that because that's how we are meant to be, that will spark us to operate like Christ. Because regardless of who cheated, him or her, it doesn't matter. How long it's been going on doesn't matter. Here's what the Bible tells us, and I think we can take a lesson from this. Love covers a multitude of faults. When we understand that's what love does, then we should seek in every possible way to become love. Because as we become love, we will operate from the capacity of love, because that love will be like the love that God had shown unto us. Yes, we want to be like Christ, but realistically, we aren't. We will gravitate to our old nature and our old ways before we do that of God's ways. However, if we make it our endeavor to live the way he says and to do things the way he says, the process will become easier. We are not in this world to belong to this world. We are in this world to be a light. The purpose of light is to show something else that you couldn't see in the midst of darkness. So if we show the kind of life that God has presented us with, if we show that kind of personality, if we show that kind of reasoning, if we show all of the characteristics that he showed, then making marriage meaningful will be a meaningful marriage, because we will make our mate meaningful. That's what it boils down to. Listen, here's the reality. We have a couple that is on this this podcast. They have been together more than 40 years and change. Why? Because they understood that their marriage is a ministry of reconciliation, meaning that they had to make some adjustments in order to restore the favor. We cannot restore the favor without making the adjustments. So we no longer have an excuse, well, this happened, that happened, this went wrong, that went wrong, because the Bible says that we are being shown a more excellent way, and that excellent way is the way of love. So when we understand the way of love, we understand the way of God. When we understand the way of God, it's easy to live the way he wants us to live with marriage. Marriage doesn't have to end up in divorce. But what causes it to end up in divorce is because of the hardness of the heart. So when that heart gets to a point where it says, I refuse to allow a change, I refuse to allow the will of God, I refuse to allow the love of God, then, yeah, you'll end up in divorce court. But if you open up your heart and receive God's love the way he intended, nothing, and I do mean nothing, will be so hard to overcome. You've been listening tonight to Making Marriage Meaningful, and tonight we were graced to have Apostle Felicia Fleiff to lead us in our conversation, and we say thank you. I need you to tune in on next week. We're going to begin a new series, and I promise you it's going to be life-changing, most revealing, and it's going to be impactful for those who will join in. If you called in tonight and you listened, next time we want you to call in, not just listen, but we want you to join the conversation as well. Thanks to all of you. Again, if you're married tonight and you get tapped on the shoulder, two words, roll over. If you're single and somebody tap you on the shoulder, you better plead the blood of Jesus and jump in the shower. That's on the reel, trying to help somebody out. Hallelujah. Glory. All right? But again, remember, your marriage will be meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. Until next time, we say have a pleasant night, and we look for you next week, Saturday night, same time, same station, right here at Elation Radio, the greatest internet radio that exists on the planet. Now, Dr. Kimmy, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to get that track together and drop it like it's hot. In the meantime, go with God, and he will go with you. We out. Shalom. Peace.
Shalom.
thing move.